Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to our fiscal year 2020 presentation. Before we start, let me draw your attention to our disclaimer on page two. Our CEO, Andreas Nauen, will explain the period highlights, outlook for the company and the sector, and will make the closing comments. Our CFO, Thomas Spanjer, will conduct the rest of the presentation. We will finish with a Q&A session. We will take your questions over the phone. With this, let me hand over to our CEO, Andreas Nauen.
Thank you, Christina. Good morning to everyone, and thank you for joining this call this morning in which we present the results for Siemens Gamesa for Q4 and for the full fiscal year 2020. I'm joined by Thomas Spanjer, our CFO, and we will provide an overview of the year before turning to your questions. Fiscal year 2020 was surely a very tough year, compounded by external effects such as the ongoing global pandemic. This has affected the movement of people and materials around the world and led to an abrupt economic downturn. Other unexpected events, including a slowdown in the Indian wind market, also hit our company's results. Our performance was also impacted by internal factors, including the cost overruns on onshore project execution, like in the Northern Pipeline. It's important to mention that these projects in Norway and Sweden have all now been delivered to our customers. We have taken many measures in my short time as CEO to steady the business and see the company return as quickly as possible to profitable growth. We have assembled a strong, experienced, and diverse management team, and our new onshore CEO, Lars Korsgaard, started this week. One other crucial step is that we strengthened our project execution policies, and we continue to restructure the onshore business operations. Additionally, we have put in place a strategic plan for 2021-2023 and the LEAP program that will drive to turn around the onshore business and maintain profitable growth in offshore and service. These efforts, while not visible yet in the results, are all having an impact in the company, and I will give some examples shortly. No doubt, and I cannot deny this, there's still a huge task ahead of us, but I believe we are taking the correct measures at a good speed and that we have the right people in place and the technology needed to lead this turnaround. There can also be no doubt that the prospects for this company remain extremely bright. We have a new record order backlog. Our onshore 5.X platform is proving successful globally, as is our new 14-MW turbine for offshore, where we maintain our leadership and we continue to develop our service business. Beyond the many actions we've already taken to set things right, the outlook for the industry remains very positive. One significant sign of optimism in an otherwise gloomy year for the world is a significant shift to ensure a green recovery with important investment plans to accelerate the shift to green energy. Siemens Gamesa is well-placed to deliver on these ambitions from governments and society with a leading position in the technologies that will enable the energy transition. On this slide, I would now like to turn to the key points for our results for financial year 2020. As said before, financial year 2020 was impacted by the pandemic, the slowdown of the Indian market, and the extra costs from the execution of projects in Northern Europe. Despite these difficulties, Siemens Gamesa obtained a record order intake of 14.7 billion, which increases our backlog to more than 30 billion, which is around 19% increase year-on-year. The book-to-bill ratio was 1.6, and 91% of our revenue for the financial year 2021 is already covered. The revised guidance was met. Revenue was 9.483 million, and the EBIT margin pre-PPA and before INR costs was -2.5%. Surely not where we wanted to be, but that is the final result. Improvement in the fourth quarter are as expected. Revenues of nearly 2.9 billion with an EBIT margin of 1.1%. We maintain a strong financial position. Working capital stood at -1.976 billion, an improvement of 1.1 billion on the figure for financial year 19. Our net debt position was 49 million, and we have 4.2 billion in financing lines with just 1.1 billion drawn down. We have also put in place a new strategic plan for the financial years 21 and 23, and we have a new team. Our LEAP program will help to drive a turnaround, especially in the onshore business, and maintain profitability in offshore and service. And the long-term vision is reinforced with renewable energy as core to sustainable economic models and the economic recovery. If we go then to the next page, I would like to share a few highlights of this quarter and this year with you. Our onshore 5X platform surpassed 1 gigawatt in orders following a good performance in Sweden with a 370 megawatt order at Björn Berget. One project that follows exactly the criteria we laid out in the CMD with a healthy balance of risk, rewards and profitability, and these are good examples and more will follow. Also, our Q4 order entry in onshore is further proof. We turned the corner in this quarter with 2.7 gigawatts of diversified orders under our new sustainable and de-risking model. The new 14 megawatt direct drive platform for onshore with 4.3 gigawatts of preferred supplier agreements across the US, UK and Taiwan is also moving closer to signing the contracts. And our leadership in offshore remains intact. We managed to install the 750 megawatt offshore wind farm Borssele in the Dutch North Sea in a record time of 5 months. And this continues to prove, yes, we in Siemens Gamesa know how to do offshore. And also our service business continues to grow strongly with a record order intake of 4.1 billion. And what I'm particularly pleased about, 1.4 gigawatt in third-party technology. And the Senvion fleet performance indicators are in line with Siemens Gamesa's now, less than 1 year from the acquisition. On page 6, as we presented at the Capital Market Days in August, we've also launched the LEAP Acceleration Program that accompanies and supports our strategic plan aimed at resetting our onshore business and driving offshore and service as well. Executing the LEAP program, coupled with the development of the company's business, will enable the group to grow faster than the market and achieve the vision of an EBIT margin pre-PPA and before integration and restructuring cost between 8 to 10%. And just a reminder also from the Capital Market Day. LEAP is based on 3 main pillars, which are innovation, productivity and asset management, and operational excellence. And just to give you a few examples, innovation, being a leader in the wind sector through technology and innovation, the 5X with 30% higher AEP than its predecessor. Innovation also is key to offshore, where we are now working on a project with the 11 megawatt 200 meter diameter direct drive turbine, which will be installed in Vattenfall's Dutch projects. But also productivity and asset management, cost optimization and cash management. Goal of achieving more than 5% improvement in third-party spend each year and maintaining strict control of our own fixed cost. And I can confirm that the tracking of all the measures in LEAP shows that we will achieve that. Operational excellence, ensuring the right procedures in place for excellent execution in our projects, becoming industry benchmark in safety and quality. And LEAP shows real and big steps forward. And while you cannot see that in our results yet, just one example more. One key focus area of LEAP has been to drive synergies, like in our BLADE program, by bringing together the expertise and experience of engineers from both onshore and offshore. So last week, we brought the key teams together in our new plant in Vagos for the first ever Siemens Gamesa BLADE product convention, aiming to boost our product competitiveness. This event was a huge success, driving learnings for both BUs. Our teams left Vagos with more than 500 ideas for improving our blade competitiveness. This is just one example, but we have very high hopes that it can help us to deliver improved results. Or digitalization, a key lever across all of these pillars to drive future profitability. Since the launch of LEAP, our teams, working again together across the three business units, have brought new urgency and focused our efforts here, and have already identified 80 new ideas that will be introduced over the course of the next two fiscal years. These are just two examples, and we will bring more in the future. Above all, we are striving to be more sustainable as a company, focused on people and creating the best place to work and generating an environment in which our people drive our success. I will now hand over to Thomas, who will take you through our commercial activity and give you a more detailed breakdown of the company's results.
Thank you, Andreas. Next slide, please. When we look into the order intake and the backlog development of Siemens Gamesa in the course of the fiscal year and in the course of the fourth quarter, we are truly proud to say that we have achieved a record order entry for the total fiscal year of 14.7 billion, what is an increase of year over year of 15.6%. When we look into the fourth quarter only for a second, we closed the quarter with an order entry of 2.6 billion, what is a decrease from a year over year perspective by 16.7%. Nevertheless, when we look into the details of that development, the order entry in offshore was according to our expectations, because order entry in that area of activity is always bulky, and we had the major order entries already in Q3. The quite positive thing is that service is continuing on its growth path, so order entry on service was again quite strong. And also, and what is good to see, we have a recovery in the onshore order entry activity. We see details later on. That proves two topics. The first thing is the market, despite all certain delays stemming from COVID, is starting to recover. And second, even applying our principles, strict principles of quality of order entry over volume, i.e. profitability over volume, we can achieve business and make business from a sales perspective. In essence, and that is a key KPI for us, the total fiscal year was from a book-to-bill ratio 1.6, what is extremely strong and contributes by that to our order backlog, then to the right. We close out the fiscal year with a record order backlog of above 30 billion. When we look into the details of the composition, we meanwhile have close to 80% of that order backlog residing in activities, in particular offshore and service, that have an extremely strong track record in performance and execution. And that gives us a significant visibility and sustainability for the years to come. Let me go to the next slide, please. When looking into the details of the order entry of onshore, first of all, from a regional perspective, the total fiscal year in megawatt, it was a quite balanced fiscal year. All the three regions we are reporting out have contributed to the order entry in megawatts in onshore on an equal footing. When we look into, for the moment, in the specifics of the fourth quarter, and that is quite interesting, we see again an order entry in India after, in essence, pause in the third quarter and the second quarter. What is good? Because India has been a critical country. We have to overcome market challenges, and we have been successful in also with that order entry contributing to the turnaround of our onshore activities in India. Also, markets as or countries as Morocco and Pakistan are worthwhile to be mentioned. When we look into the composition from a technical content perspective, meanwhile, 45% of our order entry are achieved by platforms bigger than, equal or bigger than the 4 megawatt platform, what is clearly indicating the change of the composition of our order backlog. When we look into the 5X specifically, and we are quite proud to report out on that one, in that order entry of the fourth quarter, 755 MW of order entry for the 5X are included. Meanwhile, we have even as we speak of today, we even have exceeded the 1 GW threshold. When we talk about average selling prices, the fourth quarter was a decrease, and we report only €0.63 per megawatt. This development, and thereby a decrease year-over-year by 8.3% to €0.67. The development in the fourth quarter specifically is partially influenced and unfavored by currency development, simply by the regional composition. U.S. is not helping in that regard, and the development of the U.S. dollar. This is more a mathematical aspect in that one. When we look into the content, what we can clearly see, yes, we have changes in scope. That was expected and does not surprise us. But also what is a driving factor for that development, that meanwhile in the onshore business, and as already mentioned, we have a higher share of higher ratings of turbines, and that comes with a lower selling price. Let me go to the next slide, please. In the case of offshore, not too much to report, as order entry in the fourth quarter was, as expected, close to not existent, besides some change orders. But also here, we are still proud that we have an extremely strong order backlog of 6.7 and a pipeline of 9.3, what gives us a significant visibility for the years to come. And all the revenue for next fiscal year in the case of offshore is already covered with order backlog. And we go to the next slide, please, in the case of service. Order backlog in the case of service is meanwhile exceeding the 15 billion level, what is extremely strong. The regional composition, what is also nice, we are extremely strong in EMEA. That is certainly driven by our offshore business. We have, as always, as already reported in the past, a retention rate of the 70%, what gives us a significant stability in that backlog and basis for future growth. And also the average life of the contracts are stable with around 8 to 9 years, what is good to have from a visibility perspective and have the necessary room for doing cost out. When we look into the composition of the fourth quarter, we have meanwhile 1 GW signed, and that is important in aggregate since the acquisition. We have meanwhile signed more than 1 GW outside the Semin perimeter of the acquisition, and that is extremely strong. And those contracts in the Semin context do come with an extremely long tenor. So, for example, we have 10-year service agreements for a total 431 megawatt in North America in the fourth quarter in that context. What is good? We may go to the next slide, please. From a regional perspective, not too much to report out. Maybe briefly touch the Indian element, because we will come to that one when I talk about the numbers. We are progressing from our restructuring perspective to address the downturn of the Indian market, which certainly is burdened by the COVID situation. We have taken as a company the necessary measures from adapting our sales approach with regard to project development. We have cleaned out our project portfolio. We have had the necessary negotiations with our customers. And we are currently in the process of adapting our manufacturing footprint to be in total prepared for the years to come. Nevertheless, and you can see that one on that slide as well, we are dedicated to stay in India as well, because India, this is according to our expectation in the midterm, is going to remain a significant market. When I now go to the P&L on the next slide, please. As mentioned, we closed out the fiscal year with a revenue of 9.5 billion, slightly beneath that, but nevertheless, technically, that is in the guidance because it was negatively affected by FX. When we talk, this gives us, and we had an EBIT pre-PPA integration cost of -233. For the first quarter standalone, that one does mean we have a profit of 31, EBIT pre-PPA and integrations and restructuring cost. When we look into the integration restructuring cost of the total fiscal year, in aggregate, we had effort in that regard of 462 million. In the fourth quarter, again, we had to book 110 million in that regard. I will talk about the details a little bit later on. PPA amortization is according to our expectations. Nothing specific to report about that one. In total, that brings us to a reported net income for the total fiscal year of -918 for the group and of -113 for the quarter. From a CapEx perspective, we had in the total fiscal year CapEx of 601. That brings us to a CapEx over revenue of 6.3. When we look into the specifics of the fourth quarter, we had CapEx of 249 with a CapEx over revenue of 8.7. That is specifically due to our execution of the France Le Havre factory build-out, what has meanwhile started in the context of our offshore strategic plans. From a working capital perspective, and we are proud to report out on that one, and Andreas has already mentioned that one, we have closed out the fiscal year with a negative working capital of close to 2 billion, to be precise, 1.976 billion. That is an improvement in the last quarter of further 477 million. About the details, I will speak later on. Please to the next slide. Revenue, I have already mentioned briefly. Not so much to report about that one. The fourth quarter certainly was still burdened by the COVID situation to a certain degree. It was a relatively low quarter, in particular also compared to the last fiscal year. The situation in total is stabilizing. We are catching up. As mentioned, nevertheless, we had to absorb certain project delays, in particular due to COVID and other operational topics we still have to overcome as a company. When we go on the next slide, please. From a group's EBIT perspective, and what are now the main drivers for our EBIT pre-PPA integration restructuring in the fourth quarter specifically. Again, and that is always good, in the fourth quarter as well as in the total fiscal year, we have been able to outperform by our productivity efforts in the company, the pricing pressure we have been facing. What is good because that gives us a stable basis going forward. We have been consistently able to do so. When we then look into other elements like volume and like mix and scope, those were expected and are going according to plan. The good thing is to report about COVID. The COVID situation from a company perspective in the fourth quarter was well under control. The effects are slowing down and tailing out in the company, and results have only been burdened by 31 million. We have the health and safety of our employees in mind and in focus. We have a rigid execution regime in place in our factories as well as in our projects. We are in close contact wherever is necessary with our customers or with authorities. Whenever something or anything might come up to get our brains and arms around it. In others, and that is important to mention, others in the fourth quarter, besides some currency topics, we have to report that our results are burdened by 69 million by corrective and preventive measures we have to take in the context of the 4.X. We have identified in the fourth quarter technical problems in our gearbox in that regard. We all our customers that potentially are affected by that, we identified it in a prototype, by that product weakness, are meanwhile informed, and we are preparing for a preventive campaign where it is necessary in certain projects. Respectively, we have recognized necessary provisions for that topic. COVID, already mentioned, total fiscal year was burdened by 181 million, and in the fourth quarter, significantly slowing down to 31 million. We go to the next slide, please. Just to close out, this is about LEAD 2020, and why is this important to talk about that one? Because the program practically does end with the closure of the fiscal year 2020. We have achieved a lot in that context, and it was predominantly at that point in time about productivity. In aggregate, we clearly have overachieved our targets from that perspective with over 2 billion, despite certainly unfavoring effects, like we had the trade war with China, between China and United States, to absorb in that context what was not helpful, and as well, the pandemic circumstances of the last fiscal year were not helpful. The LEAD 2020 program has been transformed into, also has been transformed as to become part of our already mentioned LEAP program. In that regard, we have given ourselves productivity targets for the years to come to exceed, to achieve over 5% productivity on a year-over-year basis. We have dedicated ourselves to a strong fixed cost control regime in the company. As already mentioned as well, the necessary actions have already been launched for improving our project management, the capacity consolidation, and also, where necessary, activities in design and manufacturing. We go on the next slide, please. Briefly talking about working capital improvement, and I already touched that one, that we closed out the fiscal year with close to minus 2 billion. The good thing in the fourth quarter, and we talked about that one already, in the total fiscal year, it was predominantly driven, we see that one to the right of that slide, by contract assets and liabilities, what in essence, and to a huge extent, is favored and supported by down payments received from customers. Nevertheless, when we look into the specifics of the fourth quarter, and what is good to see, that also in all the other relevant KPIs of the working capital, be it trade receivables, be it inventories, be it trade payables, we have improved, further improved the situation of the company, certainly due to diligent work of the organization, and it was a comprehensive exercise. What certainly is also helpful in challenging times like COVID, where liquidity is king. We may go to the next slide, please. To talk briefly about liquidity, to finalize my section of the presentation, it is worthwhile mentioning that the net debt position, we close out the fiscal year with a net debt position of 49 million. When we look into the different components, that is certainly a decrease or a slightly weaker situation than the closing position of last fiscal year. Nevertheless, by the working capital effort we have made, we have been able to compensate a significant part of the burden we had to absorb from a P&L perspective by the weak performance, operational performance within the companies, due to the factors I have already mentioned, and also certainly burdened by the COVID situation. When we simply, in a nutshell, that translates in an extremely strong liquidity situation of 4.7 billion, and that is supported also with financing lines of 4.2 billion, out of which only 1.1 billion are currently used. Thank you, and I would hand back to Andreas.
Yeah, thank you, Thomas. I will now give a short outlook and conclusion of today's presentation. Despite the significant impact of the pandemic, the transition towards cleaner energy remains high on the world agenda, and there are growing calls for the post-COVID recovery to be underpinned by actions driven by a green economy. We all know that. New commitments to renewables from governments add more optimism for the story that is yet to be told, as wind and solar become mainstream energy sources. A green recovery will likely see offshore installation capacity surge to over 20 gigawatt a year before the end of the decade, according to Wood Mackenzie, and where we are well positioned to continue our solid growth here. Additionally, an increasing number of countries and companies have undertaken to achieve net zero emissions by 2050. Attaining this objective worldwide will require wind installations to rise from 60 gigawatt to 280 gigawatt per year by 2030, according to the latest report by the IEA. Next page, please. Overall, we forecast a comeback year in financial year 2021, with revenues slightly higher, climbing to 10.2 to 11.2 billion, and an EBIT margin of 3%-5%. I'm confident that we achieve this, as we have already now a revenue coverage of 91% for the total fiscal year. We do, however, forecast ongoing integration and restructuring cost of around 300 million in the current fiscal year, with a PPA impact close to 250 million. Last page. Here, let me conclude. Fiscal year 2020 was undoubtedly a very hard year for Siemens Gamesa. A global pandemic, a deep slowdown in some of our most important markets, and execution challenges across several projects hit our results. Eventually, we managed to end the financial year within our revised guidance. But what is most important for me, we will continue to prepare the company for its future ahead, and we do so. We managed to extend a record order backlog to more than 30 billion. We have maintained a solid balance sheet and increased our commitment to sustainability. In this context, we've clearly begun a turnaround in the onshore business and expect to see the business unit improve throughout the fiscal year 2021, following the plan and the LEAP program that I mentioned before. No doubt that more challenges, but also changes will be required as the new team and the new strategy settles down. But these will help to guarantee future profitability. We are on the right path to take Siemens Gamesa back where it belongs, at the forefront of renewables industry. Before we open for questions, you could go. I would like to share with you our sustainability strategy, which forms the bedrock for our work, and we also made significant progress over the last year. Some of the highlights. On our journey towards a goal of net zero by 2050, we became a carbon neutral company late last year through a combination of energy efficiency measures, sourcing renewable electricity, and some offsetting measures. And that is 5 years ahead of our original schedule. We assured also sustainability criteria across all our financing lines, including guarantee lines. And the company gave particular focus to improved health and safety measures, and our social commitment launched several initiatives aimed of alleviating the impact of COVID-19 in communities close to our operations. We have also maintained the highest of recognitions and ratings for ESG in the sector, including improved A rating for ESG from MSCI, and we also hold good ratings from FTSE Russell and a low risk ESG by Sustainalytics, just to name a few example of our progress and achievements in this area. Thanks for your attention, and Thomas and I are now very happy to take your questions.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. The Q&A session starts now. If you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. We kindly request that you limit your questions to one per turn. Please be informed that in order to assure audio quality, we recommend that all questions are asked from landlines. Thank you. The first question comes from Akash Gupta from J.P. Morgan. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good morning, everybody. My first question is on offshore wind pipeline. You said at the Capital Markets Day that we are expecting around 15 gigawatt of auction volumes to be awarded by end of 2021. And subsequently, one of your largest customers in Denmark came up with even a bigger number last week, reporting some more than 20 gigawatts to be awarded by 2021. So maybe if you can tell us, how does the pipeline looks on a 12 to 18 months view, as well as also whether you can convert some of the existing order into firm order in the remaining part of the year? Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Akash, for the question. Maybe I'll split that into two. First, converting some of the pipeline into firm orders. As I said also at the in my part, we are on a good way to convert some of the preferred bidder situations or agreements that we have into firm orders, and you will see them surely during this financial year. Also for the 14 megawatt turbine, where we are moving ahead as planned. With regards to further auctions, you are, of course, fully correct. And as I said in the Capital Market Day, there are very large auctions coming up in the next, let's say, 15 months by the end of 21, most prominently the CFD4 auction in the UK. And we are currently preparing together with, of course, our customers, and you quoted one of them, for these auctions. These are mostly still to come. And especially, and also in the U.S., some auctions are going on at the moment, but the outcome isn't clear. But we are very confident that with the, especially with the 14 megawatt machine that we currently have, that we will be very competitive, and we will see the results during this financial year. But there's still to be seen, because this is ongoing business, and I'm sure you know the dates of many of these auctions.
Thank you. The next question comes from Didat Mitter from Citi. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks very much, and good morning. So firstly, again on offshore, so we heard one of your competitors say that they're about to announce a new product. When you look ahead to the competitive situation, the years 2024 to 2025, what's your latest assessment of the competitive position? Thank you. And the second question is also on service. So you've ended the year with 22.7% margin for the full year. That's roughly flattish year on year. And you said that the Senvion fleet is now performing in line with your own. Given this, what's your latest expectations for what's feasible on service margin in 2021? And what have you assumed in your guidance? Thank you very much.
Now, if I answer the offshore question, and I think, Thomas, if you could do the service question. You asked about the competitive situation in offshore. And as I always said, that the key to success is an extremely good product. And this is why we emphasized very much also in our Capital Market Day presentation the 14 megawatt, the 11 megawatt, so our offshore strength based on the strong products that we have. And that has not changed due to the movements that we see in the competitor landscape. We have seen competition in recent projects, but also the successes that we had confirmed that we did the right things in time and developed the products in time. And it has still to be seen when any changes or new products that might come from competitors reach the market and reach the projects. And I'm very confident that with the timely development that we did, including the upgrading of the 11 megawatt turbine, that we have a very competitive product pipeline for the projects that are there to come. And as I also said in the Capital Market Day, the 14 megawatt will not be the last step of our development, and we will continue to drive the direct drive concept also to larger turbines. And we will see when we launch and apply this then.
With regard to service profitability, and within the context of the Capital Market Day, we have indicated that we expect service to perform strongly and sustainably on a level of 20% plus. And as you rightfully have been referring to, again, in the fourth quarter, we have been, from a service perspective, able to deliver results in that range. Senvion, indeed, when we look into the quality of the business we are currently having from an order entry perspective, looks quite promising from a pricing level as well as from a risk content perspective. Order entries in that regard have been convincing. Nevertheless, and we have mentioned about that, talked about that one as well, when we talk about the Senvion activities in total and thereby the service results, the service numbers for the moment are still, and this applies for more or less the total fiscal year 21, by the integration effort we still have to take in the context of Senvion. We are currently burdened with the infrastructure cost from, in particular from IT perspective, we had been obliged to take over, and it simply takes a while till you can overcome those elements. Nevertheless, it would be my strong belief to see service again in the new fiscal year on levels as we have seen in the last.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question comes from Sean McLaughlin from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you. A question on pricing. If I look at your EBIT bridge, you're showing quite a negative contribution from pricing, which is then offset by productivity gains and other adjustments. Mm-hmm. Where are you seeing this pricing impact? First of all, and secondly, are you seeing any improvement or deterioration of that, particularly as we are in negative megawatts order volumes? Thank you.
As the pricing, yes, it is significant, but this is across the board. So pricing is a constant topic we have been facing as a company, and this may not be a surprise. And that applies in essence to all our three business and or activities we are having, be it offshore, be it service, or be it onshore. Despite the fact, and even in onshore specifically, we report out on average selling prices, but the pricing here, the average selling prices is order entry, but this is the pricing we do see in the order backlog. So that is always the pricing effect of order in the revenue. And that now it depends, service, offshore, onshore, from order entry we had 2 years back. And therefore, clearly, when we look into, now let's just make that example, when we look into the offshore performance of last fiscal year, that was an extremely positive year. Those were, we were certainly favored from an operational perspective, but those were, at that point in time, projects in execution which had, from a legacy perspective, an order entry perspective, something like 4 to 5 years back, an extremely positive pricing level. And now we are in the current fiscal year in execution, in offshore, on a pricing level, from an order backlog, simply order entry pricing level, on a different level. And that is simply the consequence, in the case of offshore, of the auction system introduced at that point in time. So that translates, and that contributes to that effect. Hopefully, I can explain with that. Productivity, this is all our short-term measures we are doing. It's always a comparison year over year what we can achieve, in particular from a purchasing perspective, jointly with our purchase, from an engineering perspective, product improvements, and also from a process perspective, in particular in the case of service, what is significant. Because when I look into the service or the entry quality, they have to work on productivity. But we are strong in that regard, and the visibility and the tenor of the order backlog we are having gives us the sufficient time to work on those items. I hope I have answered your questions with what I've said.
Thank you, Thomas. I mean, a quick follow-up, if I may, just on the Q4 ASP decline. I mean, you mentioned part of that is attributable to the higher rating turbines. Could you be a little bit more specific about how much of that ASP decline?
I would have to look that one up, but it's approximately, it's significantly by the currency, that is maybe one third, and maybe one third it's simply by that technical topic that we are simply now trending into higher rating of turbines, but I could talk with you bilaterally and to give you the specifics, not to now make guessings.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Mark Freshney from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good morning. Can I please ask on the gearbox costs of 69 million euros, which seems to be new news, Is there any further detail you can give, and is there any ability to recover those costs or any warranty costs from your supplier? Is the first thing. And just secondly, on transport costs, Vestas has spoken about transport costs surprising them on the upside, and I think that's particularly as their onshore business goes to bigger blades at a time of COVID-19. But are you seeing any pressure on transport costs where you do take that risk?
As a transport cost, we have, maybe I take the second question first and then go to the gearbox topic. Transport cost as such, yes, we do see higher transport cost as well, but I have already twice spoken about that topic. This is only in the context where we have to rearrange our logistic concepts in the driven by COVID and the significant project delays we are facing there. Anything else, we are not confronted with significantly higher transport costs or logistic costs. This is not a trend in the market. Yes, you can then maybe think about, in case you have a bigger turbine, that this one might be slightly go up, but this is not significant and absolutely within our expectations and not really a major driver of the cost position. So when we do see, in a nutshell, higher unexpected logistic costs and transportation costs, it has been in the fiscal year in the context of COVID and only there. Second, with regard to the gearbox, we identified a crack. In essence, it was an oil leakage first, and then later on by going into the inspections of the circumstance of the instance, we identified a crack in a prototype. We have, meanwhile, with our engineers and quality departments, make an in-depth analysis of the root cause. We have taken the decision that preventively to exchange in the casing of the gearbox, a specific part. We have prepared for we have launched and prepared for an exchange campaign preventively for our customer and correctively for whatever already is out. Is there a possibility to recover? It is predominantly in our own manufacturing, and it's certainly with our own design. So the potential to recover externally is limited, certainly for some damages we are insured.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from Ben Hillen from Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Yes, morning. Thank you for taking my question. I just wanted to follow up on the last question. Can you give us any confidence that this is the last provision that you will need to take on this particular gearbox issue, or is it something that is going to drag as we move into 2021? And then secondly, in the cash flow, it looks like you've utilized the majority of the provisions that you charged to the P&L in 2021. I assume most of that was on the European projects that you had some issues with. Are there any other cash flows and provisions excluding Ardwin that we should be aware of in 2021? Thank you.
From a provision perspective, this is an interesting one. From an Ardwin cash outflow perspective, we have performed quite positively. It was surprisingly good in the current fiscal year. And you might have noticed when you really look into the details that we have some provision releases. Even when you look into the details of our balance sheet, from a purely technical perspective, the Ardwin portfolio has stabilized. So yes, we still have cash outflow because those contracts by nature and from the starting point were onerous. And so we still are going to have usage of provisions. But in the last fiscal year, again, the situation in Ardwin has stabilized. Anything else, when we look into our provision portfolio, it was not a major change. We had some additions, some releases, but no major movements in the current fiscal year. And then when we look into our P&L, that is also certainly one of the differences in others between the current fiscal year and last fiscal year, because last fiscal year was certainly favored by some provision releases. So that is from a provision perspective. When we talk about the gearbox topic and where are we for the moment, yes, we do have a interim solution in place that should allow us for everything that, to take the necessary measures in the context of the exchange campaign. We do expect to have the final exchange part before December, so by the end of the quarter, and then at that point in time make a final assessment of the level of the provision. But for the moment, we do have the solution and are positive and do expect that our current approach should hold firm.
Yeah, Ben, if you don't mind, I just add a sentence. When we faced this this issue, it was very important for me also that we immediately come to the root cause and also to the solution. And as this also is a limited fleet, we identified the total scope of the task extremely fast, including finding what Thomas already mentioned, a solution so that our machines can run for a while, and also the final solution. And that was extremely successfully done together with our technology people and our manufacturing people. So that was extremely fast, and therefore it now all depends on the execution of the exchange and the preventive campaign. But that was for me an extremely good approach that we took, so that we identified root cause and solution in a very fast time period.
Okay, that's great. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from Fernando Lafuente from Alantra Equities. Please go ahead.
Hello, good morning. Two quick ones, please. Firstly, on the order intake in the onshore segment, you are reporting in your presentation an order intake of 4.1 gigawatts. But if I add up what you give previous quarters, I get to 4.6. So I was wondering if there is any cancellation of offshore projects in this latest quarter. And the second question, it's on the prepayments. If you could give us the net figure of prepayments that you have in hand as of today, or as of the end of the quarter. Thank you.
As a cancellation, maybe we should have that dialogue bilaterally. We are not aware of any. No, there are no cancellations. We as a company, and we talked about that one in the context of Q3, and with the cleanup in onshore, we can, as a company, canceled certain contracts in two in India and one in Argentina at that point in time. But in the fourth quarter, there had not been any cancellations. That was a distinct, deliberate measure at that point in time. In the fourth quarter, no cancellations.
No, and Fernando, Fernando, what was important is also that we got back to the 2.7 gigawatts in the last quarter in onshore, especially after we now have more rigid requirements for taking on orders in order to make sure that we have a more healthy mix of incoming orders. It was important that we get back to a higher level than we had in Q3, which was, of course, disappointingly low. And therefore, we took quite attention to that. And with the 2.7 gigawatts, I think we returned that in onto the right path. And but I'm also not aware. But we need to, when we come to...
I was referring to offshore. In offshore, in the presentation, there is saying in order intake... megawatts, 4.139.
Yeah.
But if I add up the figures reported in previous three quarters, I get to 4.6 instead of 4.1 something. Related to offshore. In megawatts, order intake. I mean, we can discuss it later.
We can discuss it later.
Because also in offshore, we surely have not been faced with any cancellations, and we will check that.
We have two elements on that one, but this can be an explanation, but we could double check. The first is certainly the consumption. Order backlog always gets consumed by revenue. And the second thing is that order backlog is reported in contractual currency, so you might have a certain currency effect in that as well. So we can look into the specifics and then clarify that, okay? This is what I may offer. And from a and also with regard to the contract, you said you're asking about down payments. It's a number we normally do not report out specifically as down payments, but it goes with our contract liabilities, which are reported in our balance sheet. And that because it's from an IFRS perspective, it's down in interim payments, so everything balanced out, and that's the number where we have to look on as a net contract assets, not contract liabilities. That is the number you have to look at, but we can have jointly look into the balance sheet.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. The next question comes from Rahesh Singla from Societe Generale. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my question. I have a couple of them. So the first one would be, will it be possible for you to share some insights on the minimum order level required to have optimal profit margin in, say, for example, 4 megawatt turbine platform? And the second question would be, how easy it would be for your competitor to acquire or gain access to the direct drive technology? Are there any entry barriers for them in terms of patents or any other things? Thank you.
Yeah, maybe if I answer the second question first, I don't think there's an extremely high hurdle for access to the direct drive technology. Not only is it patented well, but also that would be a major shift for anyone who would like to access it. And I think we started that now 10, 15 years ago. That will be a very, very high hurdle for anyone who might even consider. It would also mean a complete change of technology direction for somebody who might be interested. So I don't see this as any risk or possibility. The second question you ask is about the 4X profitability and whether there's a minimum threshold of volume. There is one, but on the other hand, that's heavily determined, of course, by the profitability of the projects that we currently do and that we see coming. And this is what we are currently going through or have been going through during the summer and the last few months to make sure that we only take on board the healthy orders. At the same time, we continue our cost down activities that also Thomas has mentioned, and in the end leading to the productivity gains. So clearly there's a threshold. I don't have it here, and it is also determined by the mix of countries in which we sell the turbine.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, there are no further questions. I will now give back the floor to the company. Thank you.
Thank you very much. With this, we are going to conclude our presentation. Thank you for joining us today. And if you have further questions or need any clarification, please come back to the IR department on the order intake in offshore that Fernando mentioned. I think we do have 4.1 gigawatts, and that's what we have been reporting, but we'll get back to Fernando. Andreas, do you want to make any comments to conclude?
Yeah. First, I would like to thank everyone for asking the questions and attending this morning. And also, I would like to thank all Siemens Gamesa employees for the last year. I think it has been an extremely tough year because of various factors. Not only the financial results that we finally saw, but of course also of the circumstances under which we all are working, our company and the whole world is under. So I would like to thank everyone, and I firmly believe, and I can only also for the world as such hope that we are off to a better time in the future. I think what we from Siemens Gamesa can contribute, we do everything we can, but some things, as we all know, are out of our control. And I wish all of you the best of luck in these times. So thank you very much.